on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stockler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stockler.
Welcome to Insight, and we are here without Jack Stockler tonight, but we do have the village administrator, Randy Diller. How are we doing tonight, Randy?
Doing great, Neil. Thanks.
Awesome. And our mayor, Dave Kalp. How are you doing, Kalpy?
Thanks for having us, Neil. Doing good.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad to have you, as always. It's kind of the beginning of a new year and a good time to kind of maybe review what's gone on last year or two or the last few months or whatever and talk about some possible plans and definite plans coming up for this year and on down the road. So we'll get into some of that here in a little bit. So just real quick, we'll just say, how's the village doing?
I think the village is doing fine.
I think so too.
But, yeah, I think the village is doing
fine. But sometimes there's something where something all of a sudden happened. And
I think there's always things on a day-to-day basis that happen that, you know, most of us don't even know anything about, and Randy takes care of, and
life
moves on.
Yeah,
so
that's really good that you know, people don't even know something was going on, and it doesn't matter because it gets taken care of.
Yeah, so, it doesn't really matter. That's right.
Yep. So let's see. I think there was a executive session about some hiring and all kinds of other things that are kind of in the wind, and not in the wind, but in the works, and kind of figuring out what's going to be going on. Let's just take a quick little break, and we'll come back and get into some details of all this stuff and see what's going on in the fort. Back in just a minute.
Brick Street Tavern has some great nightly specials for you. On Tuesdays, you can get our awesome boneless wings for just 75 cents each and a domestic draft for only $1.50. Wednesday night, you can get our delicious grilled or spicy chicken salad for just $6. And Thursdays, it's our crispy chicken wrap with fries for only $6.50. On Friday and Saturday evenings, you can get a sirloin steak for $14.99 or a four-piece chicken dinner for $8.99. And both include our salad bar, your choice of potatoes, and a dinner roll. Be sure to stop in at any time and try a slice of our delicious homemade pie. For great home cooking, stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern.
At Cooper Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture.
I like that the company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at cooperfarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canute from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. K&L Tractor is proud to be the authorized Kloss hay and forage dealer for this part of the Midwest. Whether you need a Kloss baler, hay tool, or forage harvester, K&L Tractor is the place to go. We have the Kloss product you need and the factory-trained technicians to keep you running smooth. So remember, for all your Kloss harvesting needs, shop at K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
The Fort Recovery High School Drama Club is putting on its production of Disney's Frozen Jr. The performance dates are February 23rd through 26th in the Fort Recovery Elementary Middle School Auditoria. Show times are 7 o'clock p.m. on February 23rd, 24th, and 26th, and 2 p.m. on February 25th and 26th. Tickets may be purchased at the door. Students' tickets are $6 each, and adults are $8 each. Students 5 and under are free.
Based on the award-winning Disney movie, Frozen Jr. is fun for the whole family and a show you won't want to miss. So come on out to the FRHS Drama Club's production of Disney's Frozen Jr., February 23rd through 26th, in the FR Elementary Middle School Auditoria.
Fort Recovery Public Library will again be having their very popular Music Time for Toddlers every Monday morning at 10:30 through March 13th. The music activities are geared toward preschool-aged children accompanied by a parent or guardian. This is a free program and there's no need to pre-register. Feel free to contact the library for more information at 375-2869.
Bring your preschool-age children to the library for a fun time of interactive music. That's Music Time for Toddlers, every Monday morning at 10:30 a.m. at the library through March 13th.
Is it?
60. We're back on Insight and talking with Mayor Kalp and Randy Diller. And to answer your question, I've lived there be 66 years in June.
66 years in the same house. Okay.
Yep. I did kind of have a, I lived in a trailer for 3 years, and then when my parents moved, I bought the house. That was much easier than moving all my junk out of the house.
Just buy the house.
Just buy the house.
Well, yeah.
A lot easier. So anyway, getting back to the task at hand, we're talking about Village of Fort Recovery, and a few of you probably saw the headline in the bottom of the newspaper on Tuesday morning about us giving back some money to the state that they had pledged to us. But there's a little longer and a little better story to it than it seemed like in the paper, or definitely something different from what the headline implied. So you guys want to talk about that?
I mean, it was a long story, and
yeah.
Bottom line, you know, they did award us some money. They granted us some money to fix up Butler Street, which was exciting. And then,
yeah, because we've been talking about it for
and it obviously needs it. And you know, we kind of started thinking we could do the whole thing potentially from one end of town to the other, and then
yep.
we decided it was going to be too expensive to do that. So let's break it at Elm Street at 49 and go one way or the other. So we decided to go west out of town,
mm-hmm.
and we got that grant. And then our estimates seemed to continue to rise to the point where basically we couldn't budget it. I mean, I think that's the easiest
way. It would have taken, what, 3 years of what we would normally spend on the streets and stuff
for just our part of that, a lot more than that.
Yeah, so we would have, you know, we would have gotten whatever money, but we would have had to spend way too much of our money because everything, inflation and price shortages and stuff.
Where it put us was in a position where the only way possible for us to do a project of that size, after we found out all the costs, were to borrow a lot of money. We could have borrowed a lot of money and done it, but that's just not good fiscal sense at this point. A couple things about the grant that should be noted that aren't really talked about in the paper or anything. So we did break the project down from basically Casey's to the west edge of town all the way out to the Ambassador Drive, more or less. And once we knew what that project was going to consist of, we put it in and we applied for what they call a TAP grant.
That acronym standing for?
Transportation something.
Assistance,
but,
probably.
Yeah. But
okay.
It used to be what they called an enhancement grant. So it would not pay for a lot of things. It would only pay for certain things. And the TAP is still that way. So you submit all your activities, and we got funded 100% of what they would pay for, and that is sidewalk curbs, street lights.
Mm-hmm.
It did not pay for anything in the street, any utilities, anything like that.
Any infrastructure we might have to do.
So that was one thing. So we did get a good grant. We got $1 million. Original estimate was a little over $3 million.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew that we could go after some small government through Public Works, and we were going to do that this fall and continue to build that pot. As part of getting those monies, you know, this was through ODOT, but it was federal funds. And as part of getting these monies, they come with a lot of requirements. And we might have been slightly misled. I'm being kind. Slightly misled at the beginning of the process to think that there were some of those costs that we would be able to be exempted from. And it turned out no. Well, those costs totaled roughly $500,000 that we had to pay. There was no grant money to help us pay that, and it was extra. It was for right-of-way. It was for additional engineering requirements. It was for inspection requirements. It was for a whole lot of things that typically are not included in our projects. So we got $1 million for those items that they'll pay for, but we had to pay $500,000 to get it. So are we really getting $1 million? They keep saying, yeah, you're getting $1 million. Well, no.
Yeah.
You know, that's not how it works.
Yep.
But the really thing that kicked us at the end was the inflationary factor. It went up to over $4 million.
And it was originally going to be three and a half?
3.2 was what it started as. And then we added those ODOT costs, and it was 3.8. And then it went to 4.5. And it just got to the point where we, you know, without borrowing a whole lot of money, there was no way to fund that. One of the problems with
the costs went up. Our cost went up, but the grant that we were going to get didn't get inflated along with everything else. So it's just
what you do
dollars.
is you add an inflationary factor in your estimate to begin with, but that didn't come close to covering last couple of years.
And so, if you had in normal times, that would have just been a ridiculous number that would have prevented you from doing something good. Because, you know, inflation's usually 2.5%. It was 8 or 10.
This project had some neat things in it, and we hope to still work through those. One of them was obviously replacing the traffic signal down at the one and only traffic signal we have.
Yeah.
With some mast arms and decorative poles, and it would have been a really nice improvement. It would have also taken the hill down out on the west edge of town to eliminate that blind spot as you're driving into town, which just would have been a nice, too. And, of course, sidewalks and curbs, sidewalks all the way out to the Ambassador Drive would have been nice so people walking could actually walk through the park then.
Mm-hmm.
So, and those are things we still want to get done and will get done. It's just a matter now of what we've had to do. So we turned that money back saying, you know, there just really isn't any way we can see our way forward. The thing that really is confusing about those types of money is we put that estimate together in 2020. So that's when we started this process. But the funding year was fiscal year 25. So you have, from the time you actually work on it to apply for it, you have 5 years before you're actually going to get the money to spend. Well, of course things are going to change.
Yeah.
You know, and they want you to put those inflationary factors in, but, you know, nobody could.
Yeah, you can't foresee this.
So we were at a point where we had to spend some more money on engineering and different types of things that we really wouldn't need with any other type of funding.
Mm-hmm.
So do we spend that money and still maybe at the end of 2023 and 24 we find out there's just no way we can fund this? So we backed off, and then we went a different direction. What we're doing now is we've applied for what they call a safety grant, a systemic safety grant, ironically through ODOT again. But the difference with this one is it still has the same requirements, but they'll pay 90% of everything.
Oh.
So all those requirements that were going to cost us a lot of money, they're going to pay 90%, we'll pay 10%. But
that's a whole lot different from the previous where we turned back the $1 million, that even if inflation hadn't gone crazy, we'd still be paying two-thirds of it or something.
Yeah, so we're in a position now that we've applied for that, and we're going to start it and take it in pieces. We're going to go from the first piece is going to be, and again, this is a safety grant, so you've got to be working on safety factors. So we're going to take that hill down, add those sidewalks where there is no sidewalks, and improve that. So that'll be from George Street going west. It'll be the first phase.
And it will go, that will get sidewalks out to the Ambassador Park?
Yes.
That's really good, because I know
I
a lot of people
barring we get the grant.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know if we're going to get it yet.
Yeah. But, that's a pretty quick turnaround, so we'll know here in the next 60 days whether we got that grant.
Mm-hmm.
And if we did, then we'll start. I mean, we're already got engineering. We already got a whole lot of that stuff already there, so we can move through this pretty fast. I don't know that they'll let us speed it up because, again, they're giving you money for specific fiscal years of their funding.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens, but it will likely be a 25-26 project no matter what. So, but that's our hope. And then, you know, as time goes on, we'll put together other pieces of this stretch of road and try to do smaller projects as we can get the funding and figure it out. So,
yeah, and I know you guys you and maybe the state and other people have tried 1,000 different ways to eliminate getting the ruts at the stoplight on 119 that the trucks put in there as they're putting on their brakes and coming up there and shifting the asphalt. is you know, and I think there's people been, we've had times when we've dug down really, really far trying to put a base in there. It just keeps, is there, do you think there's a permanent answer? Is that something we're just going to deal with every few years?
There's a permanent answer, but it was part of that street reconstruction project where you take everything out and rebuild it from the ground up. Yep. What we've done is we've dug that down at least three times down to, there's a concrete base underneath that street in that area. So we dug it down to the concrete, and the concrete.
How deep is that? A foot? 3 feet?
Oh, it's only 16 inches deep, probably.
Yeah, okay.
So we've dug it down there and made sure that the concrete was still good, and it is. And we built it back up, and in the exact same spot comes back the next year. So
I think it just kind of pushes off of that concrete.
Yeah. You know, so unless we go in and tear everything out, it's just not. That is such a bad spot to work in.
Yes. Yeah.
So
busy spot in town.
So, yeah. So it's a bad spot to work at. But you know, it's something we'll address again this spring and summer. We'll probably grind it back down and
do what you can,
and hope it'll last another 2 or 3 years till we get something going in that area.
Yep. So that's the Butler Street. You're basically going, I believe you said George Street West. Mm-hmm. And so how far down are you taking that hill, and what will that do to the properties on the north and south sides of that?
There's a plan put together. I have not met with the property owners yet, but the idea would be probably on the south side we'll probably have to put some retaining walls in, because they sit up considerably higher.
Yeah, they already do sit up there pretty good.
And on the north side we can probably grade without any issue and make it very, very functional. So we'll get together with that. We're going to take the hill down probably of 16-18 inches, which will allow you then to see the intersection of George Street and people backing out of their driveways and help that from a safety standpoint.
Yep. So also something that someone was mentioning is the money we got from the county commissioners. What's the deal on that? Is that going to be like a slush fund for parties?
No. No, that would be that's a lot of partying.
Yeah.
They awarded us $300,000 for a stoplight, and our goal is to put that there at the intersection of 119 and 49 by the Shell and the Monument Park there.
So knowing the answer to this, why doesn't the state do that?
Well, Neil, I would love to go into that story, but we only have 45 minutes left. But I've done a lot of battling over the last 2 years.
Yes, you have.
With the Ohio Department of Transportation.
I can go deeper than that. I've been working on it for about 25 years.
Yeah.
And honestly, you know, we could have allocated the money years ago to try to get that done, but we just always felt like ODOT ought to be involved in that. They ought to be paying a piece of that. They ought to be doing it, you know. Mm-hmm. We see the safety factors, but everything they do with signals is based on what they call warrants. So you have to meet warrants. That's either traffic count, pedestrian count, crashes. It has to meet these warrants for them to be involved. And we have, as busy as that intersection is, it isn't one-fourth as busy as it needs to be to meet their warrant.
That's ridiculous.
Well, it's crazy.
Everybody in town knows that needs to be there.
People bypass that intersection for that reason, because it's not safe. And, I kind of put together a group of people that, we had the school involved, we had some trucking companies here in town involved, and we met with the commissioners and kind of pleaded our case. They had some of that ARP money, I think it was. And, that was given to them from the COVID deal. And we was just hoping to get a little bit of something. In fact, the idea was when we went there, and here's another classic, we was kind of given a rough ballpark, and people are going to crap when they hear the cost of a stoplight. But when I kind of started this about 2 years ago, I guess it was, a stoplight company gave us a rough estimate over the phone, $150,000 to $160,000 for a stoplight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I wanted to put one down here at our new intersection where 49 you know.
New 49, yeah.
Yeah, when we relocated 49 down here at the end of Wayne Street. And I wanted to put a stoplight there, and then also the one at Elm and
Butler.
And
yeah.
Butler.
Yeah.
So we kind of pleaded our case, and at that time, you know, I'd have been thrilled to get one paid for. So they ended up giving us $300,000, which is absolutely awesome. But the new price now for a stoplight down here at Elm and Butler is close to $400,000. That's how much they've gone up in 2 years.
Well, we found out later that the company that gave us the price,
yeah,
was shooting off their hip and was saying that's what, you know, material cost would be. That doesn't include a lot of other things. Shortly after we'd already applied, I got an estimate for $260,000 for that one signal. Well, now that one signal from a construction standpoint is about $350,000. So it has went up considerably, but the point being at this stage of the game, we've worked so hard to get this funded, and the commissioners were gracious enough and generous enough to do that we want to do it right. We want to do it absolutely right. So we're going to go with the top ODOT specs on it, and we're going to put it in a nice one. It'll have sensors. It'll have pedestrian crossing lights. It'll have the push button for pedestrians to cross.
A lot of kids walking down, you know, the sidewalks heading to the high school, and, you know, we've all seen it in the mornings.
Yes.
You know, I just know one morning I was actually on 49, and I was the second car. I was the second car to the stop sign. The guy in front of me had waved on some kids to cross the road because he was going to wait for him to cross the road. Well, somebody comes zipping out of Shell, and he's going to turn southbound on 49, and, you know, he doesn't see that guy wave at the kids to come across the road.
Yep.
And he goes scooting to make his turn. Well, the kids back up. Now they're standing on the corner again. And it's like, come on, this is, you know, it's just kind of crazy. And I'm not blaming the guy that's coming out of the Shell, and I'm not blaming the guy in front of me. He was doing the right thing by helping the kids cross the street. And it's just one of those things. If we have crosswalks, we have lights, they know when they can cross, you know, safely.
Yep. And that's how it should be. And I've had people ask me, and I don't know if you guys know any of the answers to that, but if we can't have one at 119 and 49, how does St. Henry have one at 118 and 119? Now, did they pay for that themselves?
Well, you know, the bottom line is we have tried to say, if we find the funding, can we build this? And we still, at this point in the process, have to get ODOT approval. They're not paying for a dime. They're not doing anything. Yep. But we still have to have their approval. And that's kind of another little bit of a crawl for us, because
we actually,
a city does not have to do that. The city of Salina can put up street signals at any intersection in town that they want to put it up and don't have to ask. We have to go through the warrants and meet everything and get their approval to do that, and it just seems crazy.
Because of the size of our village.
I would have guessed.
Well, and they told us at a meeting that the head of the Ohio Department of Transportation actually came to town, and I can remember it well, but I said, so if I come up with the funding, I come up with the money to put that stoplight in, I can put it there. He said, you can put a stoplight anywhere you want. And now we have to go through this. So it's only a matter of time before I'm probably back on the phone with this guy and talking to him again. But and I'm not saying he's a bad guy. It was just he pretty much washed his hands of the whole deal in the end, didn't he, Randy? He just kind of, he said, you know, he said, we're going to let these guys come in and do their job. And I don't know, we met with the head attorney for the Ohio Department of Transportation, and I don't know.
We shouldn't have to get an attorney.
long story short, it was just one of those meetings.
I just can't imagine.
They came in and told us what, not what we wanted to hear. Let's put it that
right,
way.
Yeah.
And we tried to explain to them, that's just not the way. I mean, we know everybody that walks into that. I said, I know everybody that walks into that post office. I said, so if I go down and talk to them, they're going to be thrilled to death to have this project done. Didn't matter. I had to go buy the book, and it was just
and it even went farther.
It was really
we weren't allowed to talk to him. We're not allowed to talk to him because we have the power of eminent domain, which we have never used, but we have that power. So if we go talk to them and tell them the facts, if we actually give them the facts, that's coercion.
Yeah, so we would be breaking the law by...
That's what the attorney says.
Yeah, so. He told us that.
Their attorney?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's been a challenge. It's been a real challenge. We're working with them. We're going to get this done. I know we'll get this done. It's just
harder than
it's just frustrating that it has to slow things down.
And the worst thing is, there isn't one person in town that doesn't know for a fact that there needs to be a stoplight there.
they
and they've had people there counting cars a number of times, and it doesn't come close.
They've had their counters up a couple times here in this last year, not only for cars but pedestrians and
And I don't know if he knew the numbers he needed to get to, but I understand that when Rod Toby was president of council, he sat there himself for a day and counted vehicles, and it was well within what it needed to be. Now, that might he might have been reading a different book, or they might have changed the rules. Or
His counts didn't come up to their warrants, but it came up to some... There's a lot of different traffic counts that they take. There's peak time counts. We did meet one warrant back then when Rod counted, and I think that was a peak time traffic number.
Yeah.
But a lot of that's based on the fact that we have so many trucks compared to cars.
Right.
Trucks count higher on the counts that cars do. So you would think at that intersection with the number of trucks that go through there that we would meet any and all counts, but...
It's actually amazing that it doesn't, but and our goal when it's all said and done and we get that stoplight in, it's always going to be green going east and west. So 119 will remain green until someone pulls up on 49.
So it'll be a trigger stoplight.
Sort of like it is on 127 and 219 out there.
Yep, and there's a bunch of them and they work great.
So that is kind of what we're thinking. And so if nobody's at 49, you buzz right through town, and away you go. I really hoped when we got to 300,000, I was pretty excited because I thought we was going to maybe get two of them. And we're not going to have the funding for that. But, in all reality, if somebody was sneaking into town from the south and they caught that green light and went around the curve and caught this green light, realistically, they'd only have to stop at the curve out there by the carryout.
Yep.
And we could move some traffic through town pretty easily then.
And you're kind of working on that
thing too, I think
still trying to get there.
I think we'll get one up here, and then we'll see how we can manage and try to get the next one done.
Well, there's some thoughts over here that a four-way stop may not be a bad answer because of the businesses along there. So, if it's a green light and somebody's walking out of Doc Carr's business and is walking straight across the street, those people could still be going 35 mile an hour.
Yeah.
And if they hit the green light.
Yeah.
Now, four-way stop, they're not going to be going 35.
Yeah, and that whole half block there, I think, is now zoned
commercial.
Yeah, and so all kinds of things could be there where people would be going across.
It's certainly something that's still in our mind, but we're going to monitor that and see what development occurs in that area.
Yep.
And
so far, so good down there, I think. I mean,
honestly, we left that four-way stop in the middle of that intersection for a long time, and that was on purpose, obviously, because and I've had a number of people tell me that they're so glad we did that because they know they would have ran it a number of times.
Yep. And most of the time, it wouldn't be a big deal, but that one time that somebody is pulling out, especially
it's not going to surprise any of us if there's an accident down there, right?
Yeah.
But in all reality, I haven't seen anybody run it for a long time. And
thanks
I'm
for
actually,
not noticing about 8 weeks ago.
I'm almost as guilty as anybody because I've been used to making that turn as much as anybody.
For years.
I've caught myself at the last second, and I think the flashing stop sign is a good thing down there. That certainly helps get our attention. Back to the state, they think a four-way stop is safer than a stoplight, and because everybody has to come to a stop.
Yeah, it probably is safer, but is it more practical?
And that's kind of the argument.
Yeah,
You know, we want to give the kids time and the pedestrians and the walkers time to get across the streets. You know, there'll be a push button there. You can push a button, turn the light.
Yep.
Get a green light to walk across. So I'm looking forward to that.
They actually encouraged us to replace our existing stoplight with a four-way stop.
Yes, I remember hearing
we are
that.
That wasn't even in the conversation very long.
Whoa. That didn't go over very well. No. That light, we've come to find out, it's been there since the 30s, right?
Yep, 1934.
And, you know, our argument was if there's a stop sign sitting there and the cars are pulled in there at an angle, like in front of Brick Street and down in front of the library and the bank.
Or a delivery truck in front of Cal Pharmacy.
Yeah. You know, you're not going to see
on the highway. They're not going to see that stop.
You're not going to see a stop sign.
So then they're going to say, well, you need to have a flashing light in the middle. Well, if we have a flashing light, let's have a stoplight.
Yeah.
It was a sank like a lead balloon.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad at least they didn't demand that instead of just suggesting it. But, let's take a quick break. We'll come back, talk about more stuff going on in and around Fort Recovery, and we'll be back in just a minute or two.
Klingchen & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchenandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchen & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
A lot of land comes with a lot of work. The Kubota MX Series has a lot to offer. Part of our under 100 horsepower tractor lineup, rated number one for reliability, they feature the versatility to mow, move hay bales, grade roads, and clear brush and snow. Visit your local Kubota dealer today. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Your local Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Here's an easy way to feed your family on a busy night. Just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274 and let them take care of it. Whether you want wings, sandwiches, subs, their fried goodies, or their awesome pizza, just call them and they'll make it for you. Why work hard in the kitchen after a long day when Miracle Lanes is just a phone call away? And you don't want to miss their very popular all-you-can-eat Friday lunch buffet with salad bar, pizza, breadsticks, and boneless wings. And be sure to call them to book your lanes for birthday parties and other occasions. Miracle Lanes, great food and lots of fun. Stop by and see Corey and Jared today.
The Fort Recovery Academic Booster Club will host their annual pork chop dinner on Tuesday, March 14th from 4 to 6 p.m. Meals are $9 a piece and are pre-sale only. You can pick up your meals at the Fort Recovery Elementary School preschool and kindergarten entrance. You must purchase your tickets by March 1st. Meals include a pork chop, baked potato, applesauce, and a roll, all catered by Wendell's Barbecue. The proceeds will benefit the FRHS SAD Club and the Academic Booster Club. Tickets are available from any FRHS SAD member or in the Fort Recovery High School office. Please make your checks payable to Fort Recovery Academic Booster Club.
What's up, y'all?
What's up, y'all?
We're the Fort Recovery Lady Indian Softball Team, and I'm Sophie Pearson.
I'm Ella Shane.
I'm Emma Will.
I'm Ava Shane.
And I'm Jenna Ullman.
And we're having our annual pulled pork fundraiser. The tickets are just $9 each, and you get one of Wendell's Barbecue's famous pulled pork sandwiches, mac and cheese, applesauce, and chips.
The dinners will be available on Sunday afternoon, March 12th, and you can just drive by and pick them up at the St. Joe's store from 4 to 6 p.m.
Contact any of us on the softball team for tickets, and they'll also be available at all the home boys and girls basketball games.
Don't miss out on the girls softball team's annual barbecue pulled pork dinners available on Sunday, March 12th at St. Joe's store.
See any of us on the team to get your tickets by early March. Get them today.
We appreciate all of your continuous support.
Bye.
Love ya.
We're back on Insight, and we're talking with Randy Diller, Mayor Kalp, and finding out all kinds of stuff going on in town. And things that are planned, things that have been going on. We have a some things in the works for I think it's going to be called a trail, but basically a sidewalk out Sharpsburg Road and South 49.
We called it a trail because it's 6 foot wide.
Yes,
they're calling it a sidewalk, but whatever.
Yeah. And it's and now by being in the trail category, does that get us some different grants, or is that just the way we decided to
do
it?
Ironically, we have the grant for that one, and it is the NoDOT grant, and it's in that same systemic funding, safety funding that we're applied for East Butler. So it's the same program, 90-10 split, so that'll be 90% of the cost. And that project consists of starting at the intersection of Sharpsburg and 49. We'll go down Sharpsburg Road in front of the school with a trail. And then
on that side only?
On that side only.
Okay.
And it'll go all the way to Flailer and around the corner over to Sweet Breeze. So it'll connect Sweet Breeze to downtown, basically. So it'll also go from that intersection south.
You're talking about
at the intersection of the Dairy Queen there. Yep, it's going to go south from there down to the industrial park. So it'll incorporate the Dollar General store, the hardware store.
And if somebody does want to walk to work out to JR.
So that is in the works right now. We are actually just now finishing up some things with the engineers.
Which side of the road will that be on, or is that going to be both sides?
It'll be determined. It'll only be one, most likely, but it'll be determined as we do some engineering.
Okay.
So that's in the works.
Do we have enough right-of-way there? Is that going to be something that's going to have to be negotiated with?
Well, it depends who you ask.
Okay.
Well, there's enough right-of-way to get the trail in.
Okay, and
the,
I don't
the rule
think...
The rule for ODOT is you can only be so close to the property line.
Oh, okay.
And if you get closer than that, then you may have to get what they call temporary right-of-way, only for construction, and then it's...
Oh, okay.
When construction's over and everything's back, then the easement goes away. So, but that's all to be determined, but we're working on that. There is plenty of right-of-way to get a six-foot trail in there, yes.
Well, that's good, and I don't think any, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know that the property owners would be against having something out that way to get them back to town.
Most of them will definitely be interested.
Yeah.
I mean, the one property that probably is going to be closest is, if we're on the east side of 49, will be Cowboys rental property out there. Yeah. So it's pretty close to the
and
road.
Where Mike Toby lives is a little close-ish, I think, but
the one that Cigar Timmerman used to live in is closer.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it is. Yeah, that's very close,
but it may not be on that side. We don't know yet where we're actually going to be until we get some engineering done. Those things are in the works, so that is happening, but again, that's about a 2025 project. So it's in the works. It's going to occur. The other thing we've been working on here is what they call a school transportation plan as part of the Safe Routes to School. So we have a committee that was formed, made up of school people, village people, teachers, parents, and the idea was to evaluate our routes to school. And it's only dealing with the middle elementary school, because they don't allow that for high schools. They think those kids are probably smart enough to handle it themselves, but that may not be true. But
well, especially if they're all looking down at their phones. But
but so we've worked through that process. We actually had a public meeting, I guess a week ago tonight, out at the school, and we had some people come and talk through it, and we're finalizing that plan to be submitted to ODOT. The idea of coming up with a school transportation plan is to identify those routes that need some work, that need some improvements, whether it be signals, crossings, anything that it could possibly be. So it would be identifying that, and then the second phase of that is to promote kids walking and biking to school. So it's come up with promotional things. The school's kind of going to handle that. We'll handle the infrastructure side of it. So we're on the final stages of that plan being submitted. What does that do for us? Well, then that opens us up to be able to apply for what they call Safe Routes to School grants. And those are 100% grants. So if you're making safety improvements to those routes, infrastructure-wise, they will pay 100% of the cost. So
yeah, those kind of things could definitely, because there's 7,000 cars that are out there at the elementary school taking their kids to school, because there's not a really good route for them to go out there. But we get the trail. We get some safety routes where they feel okay with their kids taking bicycles or walking. That's going to eliminate a lot of that traffic in the morning.
Some of the areas that we identified in this plan were obviously Sharpsburg Road.
Obviously, yes.
So that's already being addressed. The signal at the intersection of the two highways, that's being addressed. And then there's the crossing there at Elm and Center Street where the crossing guard is at.
Yep.
We want to improve that with some flashing lights. And
that'd be good. Esther does a great job there, but don't know.
Did Esther retire?
She did? Oh, no.
That's part of the problem. They have a high school boy who's doing a great job with it right now, but those kids will continually change. So
Yeah.
So it's a problematic. But that's an area there. We also have an area identified there at the high school, in front of the high school, even though we can't do that for the high school. We can do it for elementary kids that are walking through there to get to the elementary school. So right from First Street, if you're walking down First Street to cross the highway, there needs to be a better way to get them across.
Like from the Monument Nazarene Church straight across to the main entrance of the high school. Yep.
So we're working on those areas. And then we've got other areas identified. So, obviously as part of that trails project down there, some of the biggest areas we're going to have to address is that intersection at the Dairy Queen. How are we going to get kids across the street there safely? And then also,
because it's a kind of a funky little.
And then also, we have the issue there at Spy Run, which is a new subdivision right directly across from the school drive. Well, that's got kids living there now, and it'll eventually have more kids.
Oh, yes.
And so we got to get them across the street at an intersection where everybody's turning in and out of. We've got to be able to engineer and design some things there to work, and we'll get her done. I mean, it's just something we got to spend some time on and do. So those things are in the works. A couple of things that have happened here in the last month. We did take ownership of the old high school baseball field that the village did, and as they prepare to use the new one this spring. So we're happy about that. Obviously, at this point, it'll stay a baseball field. That's our intentions. We don't have any intentions to change it, but it also abuts our properties with the street department and the water plant. So it allows us to have some future growth opportunities if needed. So that was a good thing. The second thing that happened is in our parks, and as everyone knows, the Sawyer Overman Group is working hard to fund a what they're calling a ninja course.
We are going to have them on Insight next Wednesday night after the girls' tournament game, and we'll be hearing a lot about what they have going on.
I won't steal their fun thunder, but
they have things going on.
But I will say that as part of this process, the village has been working on finding a location for them to build this. Obviously, our park out there is pretty full. So we just found out in the last couple of weeks that Buzz and Pat Hall are going to donate an acre, close to an acre, just west of the park, and allow us to build it there. So it'll basically be just directly west of the parking lot and the batting cage that's out there now.
So that's gonna hurt Bubba Stogler a little bit, because that's where he and his grandkids go to look for deer.
Yeah,
they'll be out there yet. They're not going anywhere.
So we're excited about that, and we certainly thank Buzz and Pat for being so community minded and appreciate that.
It's really nice, but it's not surprising.
Yeah,
it's kind of good way to put it.
That'll be an awesome addition to our parks out there. And I don't know how long the project will take, but
depends on the funding.
I think they'll get it done as soon as they have the ability.
We'll have kids here for decades upon centuries, it'll be useful. It'd be nice if you could snap your fingers and make it happen, but that doesn't. Even if you had all the money in the world, you can't just snap your fingers and there it is.
And Buzz was forward thinking enough to agree that let's just not put it on a piece of ground that it fits on. Let's get some extra space around it so we can add on or do some amenities such as a memory garden with trees or benches or
other things we haven't thought of.
So he was gracious enough to believe that, and so we only need about a third of an acre to get it done.
Yeah,
but he gave us about three times that, so we appreciate that. One other thing that's in the process right now is we are going through a water plant study. That is an in-depth study of the processes that the plant uses.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and get to that and talk about our water and sewage. We'll be back in just a minute. We'll use that as a teaser.
All right.
Back in a minute.
Fort Recovery Insurance Agency.
Commercial. How did you do that?
Well, since you keep calling looking for everything, we decided we'd use your calls to show how we really do have something for everyone.
So I'm famous now?
Well, semi-famous. This is local radio.
But I want to be famous.
Well, we're famous for having insurance coverage for your home, auto, farm, or business from Ohio Mutual.
I'll have my agents call you to talk about money.
We've got something for everyone. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency. Call 888-375-4181.
Do you have that one room that is too cold in the winter or too hot in the summer? Need to send air or heat to an addition, basement, or garage, but getting it there seems impossible? Introducing Mitsubishi Multi-Zone Systems, your heating and air solution for one room or independent control of every room. Oh, did I mention Mitsubishi H21 systems are ductless and can be installed almost anywhere, even the ceiling? Get a $500 instant savings discount now at Reasoner Energy. Another problem solved by Reasoner Energy. 419-678-4858.
When you stop by Wayne IGA this week, you'll see lots of extra people working in the store. Adriana and the folks at Wayne IGA are in the process of reorganizing the store to make things easier to find. If they're working in an aisle where you want to go, they'll gladly move out of your way and help you find what you're looking for. The store reset is just one more way that Wayne IGA is improving your shopping experience. Stop by and check out their newly reorganized store at Wayne IGA, your friendly hometown store that gives you more. Here are the sports broadcasts coming up the rest of this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, the Lady Indians will travel to New Knoxville for their last regular season game. We'll simulcast WPGW's broadcast of the game, and there's no NFHS video for that game. Varsity only, starting at 6 o'clock. Friday, the boys will host New Knoxville. Fort Recovery Radio will broadcast that game, and our audio will be available on the NFHS network. The JV game will be only two quarters, and Pop Rocks, a high-paced jump rope group from Troy, will perform at halftime of the varsity game. On Saturday night, the boys will travel to Pleasant Hill to take on the Newton Indians. Fort Recovery Radio's broadcast team will bring you the game, and the NFHS video will be available. It's getting near the end of the regular season, so get out and support our Indians teams. But if you just can't get to the games in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
Welcome back to Insight. We're talking with Mayor Dave Kalp and Village Administrator Randy Diller. And we did a little teaser right before our break. We're going to talk about water and sewage. So what do we have on that? There's several things going on with that, I believe.
I'd like to say nothing's going but that's not the case. So
yep.
We're right now undergoing a in-depth water study of the processes of the plant and also looking at how we can maybe incorporate our existing plant into a new process system. You know, right now we soften the water, which everybody knows, and we soften it using lime and caustic soda. That's great technology. Still works very well, but it's just not very efficient, and it creates a lime sludge that you have to deal with all the time. There's obviously better technology out there now, so we want to look to see what is the best path moving forward with that. So we're going through that right now. Nothing has to happen really quick. You know, we're not in any danger, but certainly we want to know what direction makes the most sense for us in the future so we can spend money moving forward in the right manner as opposed to spending money that gets tore out 3 years from now.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, because it, you know, I think functionally, maybe if I'm remembering stuff right, we could probably run our water treatment plant a long time, but is that going to go with the guidelines and so we don't want to upgrade stuff if they're just going to in a few years insist that we change it. So
you know the process we use now are, like I said, are good processes, but one of the things we use a load of caustic soda about every 5 weeks, and it went from about $3,800 a load to 15,000 during the worst.
Ooh.
Yes.
Like four times.
Yes. So now it's back down to about 11. So, you know.
Yeah, which is only three times. Yeah. So that's awesome.
But it's definitely something that we need to decide whether there's an advantage to changing that sooner than later. And if we can incorporate it with the existing building and make it a retrofit, then maybe it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're kind of looking at it. And we'll be talking about that for months down the road here. Then, of course, there's the lagoons. We did do the wastewater study last year, and we did submit a new MPDS permit, which is our permit to discharge from our lagoons to the Wabash River. So, obviously, after it's treated, it has to meet all the requirements. So in that MPDS permit that we have a draft on right now, they have added a phosphorus, ammonia, and E. coli limit, which we've never had in the past.
Now, that MPDES, is that a federal thing, state thing? Is that
it's a federal requirement.
Is that a suggestion? Oh, it's a requirement. Okay, that's a
federal requirement that you have that, and it's different depending on what type of system you run. But, you know, we've had an MPDS permit since 1972 when those lagoons went in service.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously changes have happened, and increase in flow has happened, and increase in loading has happened, and we had some issues. Everybody knows that we've had some issues over the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So we are trying to address those things as we go forward. Out of that study came the idea that a strong idea that we may have to look at something more mechanical, whether it's a full mechanical plant or a mechanical process.
So what's the process? What's the name of the process we use now?
It's just a lagoon system.
So okay, so just semi-natural or something instead
very
of
natural.
Mechanical.
Giant septic system.
Yep.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Okay.
Giant open septic system.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, the only thing that we do is we add aeration, and we don't really add. As a rule, we had never added chemicals to treat anything.
Mm-hmm.
We are adding some things now, but the one that seems to be making the most impact is an all-natural thing, so it's not really a chemical, but that's an additive. But so we are working through that. You know, obviously, our biggest issue last year was the smell. We're trying to avoid that at all costs.
Yes.
And we know we have a sludge blanket at the bottom, and there was talk about what do we do, and we were moving forward to the process of getting it removed. Well,
mm-hmm.
getting it removed is likely a $600,000 to $800,000 project.
So it costs that much to dig it out, or that much to dig it out and dispose of it?
Dispose of it's a big part because.
Oh, okay.
There's a real small possibility that we could land apply, but it's not very probable. And we wouldn't know until we did in-depth testing on the sludge itself. It's got a couple chemicals in that are naturally in municipal lagoons, that mm-hmm. almost all of them. So St. Henry, Coldwater, the last times they cleaned out, they could not land apply it, so they had to landfill it. So you can imagine you're taking tons and tons and putting it into a landfill. So if we have to do that, that's where that $600,000 to $800,000 comes in. And we're not against doing that. Don't get me wrong. I mean, if that's the answer to get us through and get us to the point where we have to decide, but if we're working towards a mechanical plant, then maybe we figure out how to survive without those problems. And that's what we're trying to do now. And we came across a product last summer, and it got started being added to our lagoons in September. Didn't give us a whole lot of time before the lagoons got cold. Which changes everything in the lagoon.
Mm-hmm. There's like a temperature thing where you're putting, is it bacteria or something like that in?
I mean, you could call it that, but bottom line is once it gets...
It's below, a living organism that won't function below a certain level.
It's down
certain
there
temperature.
Eating the sludge, basically.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right? It's trying to eat the sludge up. But it's once the water gets down below 50, it doesn't work as well. And I don't know. That's when we're going to find out if this smell's going to come back, and hopefully we have it under control where we won't have near the problems that we've had. But
You know, as soon as it gets back up to 50,
then we'll start hitting it hard again.
So what does it look like now? Does it look like it's okay? Does it look like it's great? Does it look like it's nothing? Or what is
I'll give you some of the details on it. You know, we have to maintain a certain amount of dissolved oxygen, which we call DO out there. Mm-hmm. And you need DO for those bugs to work, to continue to eat your sludge and eat your back. Yeah, so what we were maintaining before was very low. And we could just barely meet our effluent limits where it went into the river, which is a 5. We're currently running that effluent at anywhere from 12 to 14, which is really good, unbelievably good.
Yeah, so you're allowed to put it in at a 5 level, and we're...
You need to have 5 parts per of oxygen in it, and anything above that's great. So it's when you fall below 5 that you have a problem.
Yeah, so we're way better.
Better. And that's happened since September, since we started
using this product.
And I will add that in that meantime, we've also been working very closely with the egg processing facility. And they have changed their processes and continually tried to improve and work with us. And they have gotten their loading numbers down considerably. So the combination of those two things, we don't know... What's the biggest reason? We have to think this product's making a change because our DO is great.
Do you know, or did it make any difference where that level was 15 years ago before the egg plant was there?
We always had DO issues.
Okay.
But we, for a long time, we never had any aeration. It was just totally natural. It came in, went through both lagoons. It was actually short-circuiting, so it was only using parts of the lagoons, and it was going back out. So we've always had some issues with DO. We've made a lot of improvements out there to things such as the short circuiting. We now make it go through 4 cells in each lagoon, so it has to wind its way through.
Yeah.
So its contact time in those lagoons is a lot longer. We've added some aeration units. So what we have out there is a good setup, but we just got to make sure it's not being overloaded.
Yeah, and so it sounds like... and again, you don't know till that doesn't sound like there's any precedent for it, but it sounds like we are lower than we've at the level we need to be, more than we've ever been before.
Well, certainly in the last 5 years, yes, we're in a better spot than we've been, and that would take in most of the production from the egg facility. So. You know, not only are the DO numbers up, which are important for the bacteria to work, but the loading numbers that are going out to the river are considerably lower. Now, we've met those requirements without much problem over the years, but we are well below that now. I mean, our average limit per month is 25, so you can have 25 parts per million of that going into the river. We've been running in single digits at 6.8. 6.6.
And yeah,
that's just uncalled.
It can't be.
So
it can't be a fluke, can it?
Well, so we're cautiously optimistic that this product is working. Again, we are their pilot, so this has not been tested in a municipal lagoon before. So
by this company or by anybody anywhere?
Well, not by anybody anywhere.
Not that we're aware of anywhere. I mean, it's been used in farm lagoons and things like that, but never municipal lagoons. And they said, I wonder why not? Why wouldn't it work there? You know, they tweaked it a little bit.
Yeah.
And
I actually thought there was something interesting that he brought up at one of the meetings that he came to here, maybe the last
one. What company is this? Where are they from?
The name of the company is Kanos Ag. So they deal mostly with ag products in the past. And they're actually out of Muncie, Indiana.
Okay.
And the guy that...
So it's not like some hotshot out of California or New York.
The guy we deal with lives in... Hotshot, what do you think? The guy we deal with actually lives in Portland. Works for months
and
months.
And so basically heard, you know, on the radio that we had some issues, and he actually called me. He actually called me, and he said, I think I got a plan. And I said, well, I'm all ears, my friend.
I'm glad he listens to Rob in the morning. That's a good thing.
He brought up something interesting at a meeting that I thought was kind of intriguing, because he ended up calling, was it Juneau, Alaska? Remember he talked about Alaska. He called and he talked to a town in Alaska that has a lagoon, because the water temperatures there probably don't get over 50. So they actually have organisms and bacteria that actually works
and temperatures that are below 50. So he was in the process of working with them and potentially getting some of their, I don't know, bacteria to put in ours in the winter because they would continue and, you know, continuously work. I have not touched base on him with him since he brought that up, but I thought that was pretty intriguing that in Alaska, obviously, you know, they have to have a different way to break it down than what we've got.
Yeah.
So, you know, he may come up with something with that idea, but we haven't heard anything on that.
Interesting part about our whole setup with Kano's Ag was that it was all based on sludge reduction. So if he doesn't reduce the sludge, we don't pay him anything.
Because that sludge is what we were going to pay $600,000
to. So if we could reduce that by having him put this product in there and we pay him, you know, considerably less, basically next to nothing compared to $600,000.
Yeah, and not pile
up somebody else. So somebody we thought that was a great idea. Let's check it out. Because it's going to take us a year to get approvals and a company in here to remove the sludge anyway. So I still work through that process, and we're pretty close to being able to pull the trigger on final applications if we have to go that way. But forgot where I was going with this.
Well, we know that our sludge has been loosened up.
Yeah.
We know that.
So we haven't paid them a dime.
Because if I remember hearing right, it was kind of pretty thick, and
it was just firm.
That sludge
was firm.
Was, you know, probably dense enough that where we are now is maybe half as much weight per
and that's what
cubic
he's
foot or
and
whatever.
I mean, the guys that go out there and test it, Ryan and other guys that actually go out there and put what they call a sludge judge tube in there and pull it out and you weigh measure it. The first time he did it before we started this process, he took his tube out there and he actually had to more or less
jam it down
pound it into to get to the floor of the lagoon.
Mm.
And the next time he went out after that thing had been in there for a month and did that, he set it down and it fell through the sludge
to the base.
Of the
you know, you got to think there's something that's good.
So something is happening there. But what it hasn't done is it hasn't necessarily reduced the level of sludge. So the level's still about the same, but it's certainly the consistency and the makeup of it has. So that's what we need to be able to evaluate this year because, like I said, our whole contract is based on them eliminating sludge. And he now realizes that maybe that's not going to happen in the way that he thought it was going to happen. It may happen in a way that turns that sludge into what they call biofloc, which is actually a positive thing for your lagoons. So he didn't anticipate that, and he says that is actually more exciting to them than the reduction of sludge. So it'll be interesting.
So next summer is going to be pretty cool.
What's he charging us for this magic?
Nothing yet.
Yeah, we haven't paid
him. That's a good price. So what's he going to charge us when he figures it out?
If he gets the sludge reduced that we say, or we agree that the change in the sludge is worth it, his contract was for $50,000.
Instead of $600,000?
Instead of $600,000.
We kind of have a...
And we don't have to go pile our garbage on somebody else?
We don't have to do anything. No, they do all the feeding. They do all the monitoring.
He's just taking care of it. But I guess we're going to pay him so much per inch or something. Didn't we talk about
that? It had to be at least six inches.
Six inches.
A minimum of six inches for us to pay
anything. I'm thinking that maybe if this is working the way it sounds like, he should be paying us a whole bunch of money to practice on us.
Because this be pretty lucrative for him.
If this does what it sounds like it's going to do.
His original price was $289.
Yeah, which is half of what we were going
to
pay.
We negotiated down to here to be his pilot and let them use us as their marketing tool.
So he's not charging us $50,000 a bucket to throw this bacteria in there.
No.
It's whatever.
Total cost.
It's all on results.
Yeah. We've thrown a lot of stuff in there over the last couple of years.
And, you know, and back,
stuff's
to the,
a good word.
Back to the fact that if it does smell again this spring, which is a possibility, I mean, it smells every spring, but if that goes away in a few days like it normally did, you know, that's part of a lagoon. But if it does start smelling, we know products now that we can reduce that and help that. So we'll hit that pretty hard really quick if we start getting a smell out there. So we're going to do everything we possibly can to avoid any of the return of what we have.
It sounds like we have a pretty good chance of solving that problem.
Again,
cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if it's 50-50, but I'd like to say it's 50-50.
Well, I think we've seen changes. Now, yeah, what those changes are going to do, you know, that's to be determined. So.
Yep, and I've been to some council meetings and been seen and heard some of this stuff, and to me it sounds like 99-1 is what it sounds like to me, but I am... You know, I'm one of those people.
If you talk to Melvin, I think he's all in on it. But
yeah,
we've seen a lot of this stuff go in there that
yep
didn't work. So we'll see.
Yep, yeah, but at least everybody knows that you're doing.
We always did try to figure it out.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
but we just don't have millions of dollars to throw out to it.
Yeah, one other thing that ought to be mentioned while people are listening.
Yeah,
is if we do have to go to a mechanical plant. It is not because of the egg processing facility.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, good.
It's not because of that. It's because all the waste going in there has loading. So we have to be able to get rid of that phosphorus, that ammonia, that E. coli. Mm-hmm. So it's not because of them. Now, granted, they're our biggest user, so they're going to pay the most fees to get that treated. But mm-hmm. it's not because of them. I've heard that twice, that why would we build something just for the egg? That's not the point at all. That egg processing facility wasn't there. We'd still have to put something mechanical in to treat those items.
But we didn't need it 10 years ago.
But it didn't have those requirements 10 years ago.
See, that's the answer that I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
Is it that those requirements have changed, and now...
They've been coming.
Regular sewage... has to get that done.
Yeah. I mean, our ammonia, especially this time of year, is really bad. It always has been. They're going to give us a limit of 1.5, moving it down to 1.0 at some point, and right now we're at 19.8.
Oh, yeah. We need to get a little...
that number's not so good.
But we've never had an ammonia limit, so there was nothing we had to do. We just had to test it and say, it's high.
Yeah.
But it'll go back down in the spring, and it'll go down farther in the summer, and it'll be in the three. Typically, it's in the three range, you know.
Yeah, so we have to work on it from there somewhere.
We'll deal with it.
All right. So I think we've covered a few things in depth, and I think that's really important. And we might look at if there's other things you guys want to talk about later on. We can come back and get in depth on those too. So
the drive ain't too bad to get here.
No. And you got peanuts.
And I got
you peanuts. Get free peanuts.
Yep.
So anything else you guys want to throw in there?
No. I was going to mention that we are getting an exemption on the railroad crossing, and that doesn't affect a lot of people.
Okay, what does an exemption mean?
It means that the tanker trucks and the bus and school traffic will not have to stop.
Okay, so they are required to...
Right now, they're all required to stop at that. So once we can get that from happening, then that makes that area so much safer. With all the vehicles coming off of Railroad Street, with the cars coming into town at 55 miles an hour around that curve, coming down that hill, and there's
and
tanker trucks
suddenly,
parked there.
Yeah.
We have never had, I don't say never, we've had deaths at that intersection, but that was when trains were running.
Yeah.
We haven't had a bad accident for a long time, but we've had some people go off in the stone, and we've had some where we've been called out. But, it just doesn't make sense not to do it, since the track is what they call embargoed. It can't be used by the railroad without making significant improvements to the tracks. So
the tracks.
So that is nearly completed after a year of...
At least. It seems like it's been a decade.
A year of process.
And if I remember correctly, I think I heard you say you had one of them where one of the things that everything got all kind of figured out, and they said, oh, we did something wrong. So
they didn't advertise the first public hearing, so we had to start back to that. And so that's all.
So how many people showed up at the second public hearing?
Me.
Yeah, fewer than the first time?
Me.
Hey, I got a question for you guys.
Yep.
So the downtown and the Opera House. And the Opera House is looking like it could really be something big. I mean,
that's going to be awesome.
I mean, so do we look? Are we concerned about the lack of open buildings?
We're definitely concerned. And, yes, and we actually have a lot of things going on that people don't know about.
And that's kind of what I was.
Yeah, we got a lot of things going on, and we're hopeful that some of those will come to fruition. I've had conversations with different gentlemen that are working on things, and we got some neat things being worked on. If it happens, then if not, we'll continue to work. You know, we'll continue to figure it out. obviously one of the big things is we got to find a use for that Trusty Woods building, and a restaurant would be ideal.
I mean, yeah, kind of would.
To get another restaurant back in town would be ideal.
Yes. And maybe one that's open on Sunday.
That'd be neat.
So is there money out there for that business?
There are in different ways, but I mean, it's not just, hey, we'll give you, you know, $1 million to start a business. It's, you know, we can give you low interest loans. We can give you, I mean, this is all through the county and through the state, but there are things available.
He's got that revolving loan.
What about the foundation?
Community foundation? I don't know if that's in their wheelhouse, but they could. I'm sure they can change their rules. But
this week at Portland's foundation helped fund a local business or gave a loan, or I don't know how it was. Okay.
And there's possible ways that can be done, too. I mean, we got guys that are pretty good with the financing side of that, working on some things. So hopefully that happens. And I guess, again, we're cautiously optimistic, but we need something to happen. And I agree with you. If that opera house gets completed and starts doing regular activities, that the best thing we can have is a restaurant right across the road from it. That's
or right underneath it. So I don't know what they have planned for that, but
yeah.
How many years you guys got left?
How many years should I go?
20, 30.
I'm on year 29.
So you got six more, or you got
Yeah, something like that. Maybe closer to three. Okay. I can actually go at the end of 2025 and have full benefits. So
another 10 years after that, then?
So I'll go that long, and then we'll...
So you two morons are going to be here a while yet.
This is my 8th year as being the mayor.
And he's up for election this fall.
Yeah, so...
Well, that reminds me. I was told to announce my candidacy for mayor of...
Yeah! Yeah!
Vote yes. For Rocker.
You can announce all you want, but have you filed with the county election board?
It's more of a, you know...
Shortly after, I think it was maybe, the Brick Street used to be open. I think it was Tin Man's when I became the mayor. And I think I came up there shortly after the first meeting and I was mayor, and you kind of got me and put your arm around me and said, just want to let you know that I'm kind of the silent mayor.
Yes. And that's why I'm so glad.
So I've come to you for advice several times. And it's always been good advice you've given me, too.
Yes, we try to keep that somewhat under wraps.
So another question for you guys, and you guys are something big is going to happen at that baseball park real soon with the opening of the baseball diamond, and that is going to be something that's going to bring our whole community together because it is a community park. Talk a little bit about the timetable. How's that set in Calpe? Are you
well? As far as the field wise, the fields are ready. Fields are ready to play. In fact, we saw Coach Ank actually walking on it today.
Did you choose that to say get the hell off the field?
No, we didn't choose that. We thought that potentially maybe, you know, because on Wednesday nights they have batting practice and stuff. Mondays and Wednesdays they have batting practice. And we thought maybe they were just going to get the guys out and go out and throw on the field for the first time. But I don't think they did. So I think it was pretty wet. It was pretty wet, but the field itself is pretty well ready. Long story on the backstop. So there's a company that came in and they're doing the backstops on the girls softball diamond, and then also on the guys baseball field, and then they're also putting in the batting cages. So the guys came up from Florida. They had worked in Florida for 6 weeks down there. I think in probably the hurricane areas where they were putting things back together. Because the guy that came and measured our backstop came in from New York, flew into Dayton, drove to Fort Recovery, and got his laser out, took all the measurements on our backstops. And then he got back in his car, went back to Dayton, and he was flying down to, was it Sarasota? I think it was probably farther south of Sarasota where the hurricane came through because it wiped out the Red Sox spring facility. So he said, from here I'm heading down there, we got to put a backstop up for the Red Sox. So I felt pretty good that he came to the fort first, you know.
Right.
So he came. So anyhow, the guys come up, they get started last week. And they've been working in Florida for 6 weeks, and they're from Alabama, and they get out of the car, and it's like 7. And they're like, oh, my God. They had no coveralls. They had no... So they go to the hardware store to get, like, Carhartts and sweatshirts, and Bubba said, I don't sell Carhartts anymore. So I don't know. He shipped them somewhere. They got... So when I pulled up to meet them, they got brand new Carhartts on, brand new matching sweatshirts, matching hats. I'm thinking, man, these guys got their esh together, you know? And they start telling a story, and we start laughing. Dude works on Monday. Tuesday morning, he wakes up with fluid on his lungs, okay? So
we killed him.
So, get this. So, he is still in Fort Wayne Hospital. Now, this has been over a week. He was transported then from... I don't know if he went to the emergency room in Portland. I think they were staying in Portland. And then he ended up at Bluffton, and then they transported him to Fort Wayne with this fluid on his lungs, and they've taken like 6 liters of fluid or something off of his lungs, something ridiculous. So the boy that's helping him is his nephew. So it's an uncle and his nephew. So the boy comes back. He doesn't work on Tuesday. We're like, you know, where the hell is these guys at? And he finally comes back on Wednesday, and he starts telling us a story. We're like, holy cow, dude's in the hospital. So he's from Alabama. Poor guy comes up here, gets sick. He ends up in the hospital in Fort Wayne. And as of last Friday, I talked to him. They were supposed to make the decision if he needed a surgery. And if they did, then his nephew was going to actually drive him back to Alabama, back home, because there was a ridiculous amount of hospital time after the surgery, recovery time, and he wanted to be home, and I would too, right?
Well, absolutely.
So there's supposed to be a new crew comes up tomorrow, so they're going to drive up here from Alabama, and they're going to get out, and it's going to be 50 mile an hour winds.
But it'll be 50 degrees. So
I was laughing to myself. I was laughing to myself today, thinking the first guys get out and it's 7. These guys are going to come back and it's going to blow their car door right off their car as soon as they open it up.
And it might. It definitely could.
The building is what we're finishing up right now. We've got the concession stand is complete. The bathrooms are complete. We're actually working on the press box upstairs. And that's almost half done. But
first home game, we'll be playing baseball right there?
Absolutely. We're going to be playing baseball out there at the end of March.
And softball, since it's a boys and girls doubleheader with Mississinawa.
In fact, I got to talk to my partner here on the radio, because we got to figure out what we want to do on our benches and stuff up there and where we want them. And I kind of got an idea, but I got to get the big fella's opinion on it too. So we're close.
Lots of padding.
Benches. What kind of benches are you talking about? Where you sit? Where you guys sit?
No, not benches. I'm talking countertops.
Oh, countertops.
We're going to, you know, because I don't want to make them super wide, because we want to be up there close to that window so we can look out.
And, yep. Yeah, and you've been over there with Fee and at the MD tournament where that setup is exactly wrong. You can't get it. If you're sitting in a chair, you can't see the home plate.
Right.
If you're sitting on a stool, you can't get your legs under the
We're not going to have that situation. We're going to figure it out there. But I think Chad's working on the restrooms, wrapping that up. Our goal is to basically have everything done and get it finalized here the end of February. And then we've got the entire month just to fine-tune
things because
we don't want to... You know, you hate to turn the scoreboard on game day and it doesn't work. So,
yes.
There's a lot of things out there that need to be tested and ran and stuff. But I'm excited. I think the field looks awesome. I think the WOW committee and the athletic boosters have done an absolute magnificent job of getting the signage up out there. You should go out and check out the signs.
Yeah. Are there still sponsorships available if anybody's interested in that?
Yeah, there's some out there.
Okay, you can get with the WOW committee, the athletic boosters, if you're somebody that's interested in that.
They're going to take your money. I know that
they'll make something up for you if you give enough money.
I think the baseball field has been donated. I think the Leonard's family, and bless their hearts, Dan and Teresa, I think donated a bunch of money to the baseball field. Obviously, Cy and Helen the Fever donated a huge chunk for that facility.
Isn't that awesome?
And it's super cool.
Now, I don't know about Cy and Helen, but I guess we're not going to be allowed to complain if Dan and Teresa are sitting in their little clubhouse up on the hill looking over without paying to get in?
Now, that's actually in, I think he calls it the treeless treehouse, could actually get smoked by a baseball. Because it's not super far down that line. I think it's, we actually measured it for our signs, and I'm thinking it, I might be wrong, but I want to say it's like 305 down the left field line. So we're going to see some bombs, and we're going to have a six-foot fence.
And it'll be blown out.
And the wind's going to be a different direction. Oh. So we're going to see some home runs, which I think it's all the same for everybody. It's great, right?
Yeah.
We'll see a totally different infield, mowed down nice and short. The guys bought this new mower. It's fabulous.
It's like a greens mower, maybe?
Almost like a greens mower, but it's a walk behind. And the first guy I seen use it was Dino Kanapke. So Dino's got this thing, and he puts it in gear, and it was like a cartoon. Dino's feet was almost in the air. We were laughing so hard. We was absolutely dying. I said, you know, Dino, he's got... It wasn't all good things to say on the radio. It was coming out. But I was laughing so damn hard at him. But we finally got it figured out, and we got it set. And you know, when they was mowing it short there, and they'll start here in early spring because you have to mow it short to get it kind of trained, almost like a golf green. But it looked really, really nice last year when they were doing it. So I'm excited to see that.
That should be good.
The turf's going to be done.
Grass all growing.
Well, around the outside, you know, we got the grass sowed in between the two fields, around the outfield of the boys, and then around over towards the stockade wall over in right field. But
so that won't be up for a while, but...
The grass won't even be seeded,
but everything on the fields is.
Oh yeah, that's all done and ready to go. We was you know, hoping to get that grass sowed, and the reality of it was the driest fall almost on record.
Yeah.
And even what we got sowed didn't come up very good. So we'll deal with that. That's something that we can make grass grow. But baseball field looks awesome.
Yeah, if we're worried about grass out on the playing area, that's one thing.
No, nope, that's
if we're worrying about grass looks, somewhere else. There's concrete fabulous, a lot of places.
I give the athletic boosters, and the WOW committee. I mean, that is unbelievable what they're doing up there. And,
yes,
it's you know, we've all been to about every baseball diamond around here.
Yeah,
and I think there's a new leader in the clubhouse when this all opens up. So. You know, I know St. Henry right away. St. Henry was over here looking at our wall, and they replaced their backstop wall and put a brick wall and stuff in. And I have not seen it yet, but talked to the guys and showed them what we did and how we did it. And
they probably went to St. Henry Tile and Concrete and said, we need some bricks.
Well, you know, there's a lot more that goes into it.
But it's
really a top-notch facility, and we've got 2-3 weeks of work there. Like I said, we'll be done here at the end of February and hopefully get our final inspection done and everything comes off without a hitch, and that way we at least have time to fix everything or do anything that the inspector sees fit. And
is the press box air conditioned?
Well, it is when we open up those big old doors.
Oh.
You know, the reality of it is our press boxes in the spring has always been more of a heating situation than it has been a cooling situation.
So do we have a heater?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a heater. And
we're
and,
good then.
It was warm up there today, so it's going to be great.
And they'll be facing south. The windows will be facing south-ish, south, maybe
our
south,
windows
southwest.
Windows are going to be facing
maybe?
Almost identical to the ones that's down there at the old ballpark, you know, when we'd open them
okay,
up.
Okay, kind of southwest.
But the beauty of this is we can open it up as much as we want. If we want to open it up 4 inches, 8 inches, 4 feet, whatever we want to open it.
So is this so, like garage doors like we had at Rushi? So if we only open it up 4 inches, there's me and Bubba staring out underneath in the rain.
If you notice, drive by, it's all tempered glass. We can look right through them, so we don't have to open them.
Oh, okay. Oh, so it's not like a garage door where you open it up and
peek
under.
It's a garage door, but it's all glass.
Oh.
Yeah, it's all glass.
A glass garage door.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's windows. I mean, it's still got the frame, but
oh, okay,
yeah, it's all glass, and it's pretty awesome.
First foul ball right through it.
We got one window.
Oh, the net.
we got one window that, I mean, it would take a perfect shot, but it'd take a perfect shot, but that's why we put the tempered glass in, so it can shatter, but it won't break. All right. We'll let these boys get up here and do their thing.
Okay, well, let's take a break here, and we'll get to Rocker. We're only a half hour late or so, 45 minutes late for Rocker.
I knew this would be the case.
What do you got, what do you got there, Rocker? Got this day in pop culture history again? Okay. We haven't been on the air for a month, so be back in just a minute with Rocker and Sports Talk.
Fors Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Fors, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Fors Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Fors Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Promotion from within the company is huge, and it's very much supported by the owners.
At Cooper Farms, we value hard work and dedication toward bettering yourself, and we reward that. We know that our team members are the key to our success.
We offer them classes. We help them try to get to that next level. We want them to learn. The people are our asset.
Apply online at cooperfarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting Finance and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. 2022 has been an interesting business year, to say the least. Has your business experienced change within your operation? With the Fed increasing short-term rates several times this year, have you reached your mode or dashboard of operation? Now more than ever, you need a strategy and a plan of action tailored specifically to your business needs. Because you deserve more than, this is what we have to offer when considering a financial institution. CSG Consulting, 419-852-4049, your partner in planning and making you first.
The Fort Recovery VFW will be hosting their annual Cancer Dance on Saturday, March 4th. Roger Demange and Rick Hine will be providing the entertainment. It's open to the public, and there will be lots of things going on that night, including a 50-50, a silent auction, a live auction, and lots more. The funds raised will benefit the Cancer Association of Mercer County and the local VFW Victims and Survivors Fund. You don't want to miss this year's Cancer Dance at the VFW, Saturday evening, March 4th, open to the public, doors open at 6 o'clock.
Hi, this is Dave Timmerman with the Sons of the American Legion in Fort Recovery, Ohio. We are having our annual barbecue chicken dinners on February 12th, just $9 each. And you get half a chicken prepared by Romer's Catering, applesauce chips and roll. You can contact Dave Timmerman at 419-852-6916 or Whitey Vogel at 419-852-0316 or any Suns member for tickets. We will be serving from 4 to 6 p.m. on February 12th, and you can eat in or carry out. You can contact any Suns member for tickets, and we appreciate all the support we can get. Thank you.
All right, welcome to Sports Talk. What?
Hey,
what?
Rocker
what?
Time.
Huh?
Don't be butting in. We're not through with Rocker. It's only 8:30.
Rock.
You guys don't start till 8.
If you guys want to start early, I'll cakewalk out of here.
No cakewalk.
Then what will we do?
Just get talking. What you got? This list better be good.
This day in pop culture history.
Yes, I'll try my best.
I'll boo.
I wouldn't expect any less. 1940.
I'll interrupt.
Yes.
Sorry.
1940.
I couldn't help it.
Disney releases Pinocchio.
Pinocchio.
Where did he have him captured?
Well,
he released him. Where did he have him before that?
In a wood pile.
You're probably right.
I was never a Pinocchio guy.
Nope. Yeah.
No.
Might have been the dumbest one they ever put out.
Well, I'd say I made a lot of money, so it can't be that dumb.
Made some Scoobies.
We got a new Pinocchio coming out now. Mm-hmm. It's kind of scary.
Yeah, that's what we need.
It's stop motion.
Sam Smith is the devil.
Ooh.
The devil. And where did that come from, Sam Smith devil?
You mean the whiner?
Huh?
The whiner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I must have missed something, but that's okay.
Is it Tom Hanks involved in that too?
I don't know.
Sam Smith whining about besides?
No, they're Grammys Sunday night.
Because
he's dressed as a devil.
Oh, he was okay. Yeah, no, I didn't watch that part, but Last three times I saw him, he's in a dress.
Yeah, that's not. That's 1964 or some, a little more.
Ever closer.
Mm-hmm.
The Beatlemania begins as they land in New York for their Ed Sullivan performances.
Really big show.
That was only 60 years ago?
Math wise, I'm guessing.
I was a teenager.
Yeah.
Very close.
Almost 60 years.
Yep.
And this is one's a little more my speed.
Okay. Hey, you.
10 years later, Blazing Saddles premieres in New York.
Yeah, poor demeanor. Yep.
It's nice if they could just run that, play that now.
Yep.
Yeah.
They couldn't do it anymore.
They couldn't make it.
Way too much stuff that was not acceptable.
Iffy stuff, yeah.
Like you said, Alex Karras walking up and punching a horse. Well,
knocks a horse out.
He'd be in jail right now if that. and it didn't even really happen.
February 8th, 1960. The first star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame is, I don't know, what do you call it?
Put in?
Yeah. And it would be?
Joanne Woodward. This one kind of surprised me.
Joanne Woodward.
Why?
I didn't think she was that big.
That's Paul Newman's wife.
That's his wife.
I didn't realize she was that big in 1960.
See, so. You're on your game.
Yeah.
Thank you. 1985.
Sorry. 1985.
E.T.
No, not even close.
Not even close.
3 years too late on that one. There's Sunshine.
Sorry.
Bill's favorite movie came out.
Bill's favorite movie.
Witness. Mountain? Witness.
Oh, Witness.
Oh, yeah.
Kenny May. Oh, yeah.
I don't know how many times he talked about that story.
Yeah, he kind of did, didn't he? There's only a certain scene or two that he liked out of that.
Yeah, most of the.
That was his favorite.
The bathtub scene mainly.
I was thinking it was maybe a mirror thing. Wasn't there a mirror thing too?
Yeah.
He wishes he was Harrison Ford.
Well, I kind of wish I was Harrison Ford too, but
he's dead.
Different reason. No, he's not. He's in a whatever that is.
1923, the Yellowstone thing.
Yeah, 1923, yeah. Yellowstone, 1882, whatever the other thing is.
Well, 58.
He's one of those
Yellowstone shows.
And they're
good.
They're ditching one of them. And they're going to have Matthew McConaughey come in.
That's the rumor.
Oh, well, yeah. Rumors are true.
Matthew coming in?
To take over for Costner.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like
Costner's making a movie right now, and that's why they're making a big deal.
Delay is.
Exactly.
Oh, that makes sense.
Eric, birthday time.
All right.
Yesterday we had Donnie Wendell.
Donnie Wendell.
And Camel Rammel.
Camel Rammel.
I like it.
Today?
Both big listeners to the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sometimes they've actually listened. Sometimes. Maybe.
Okie dokie. We'll speed this along so the boys can get their show in.
No hurry.
Today we got Brenda Walker and...
And the All-Stars.
Matt
Walker.
Stumpy Eckstein.
Yep. And Jake Kaiser. Jason Kaiser.
There's a lot of birthdays today.
Jason Kaiser? Jake.
Hang on, I got a bunch of them.
Oh, and Adrian Stein, too.
Yeah, that's right.
There you go.
Yep, happy 21st birthday to Adriana, owner
I got more.
Wayne IGA.
Burt Campanaris, I'm guessing.
Oh, I love Burt Campanaris. He was on
I was joking.
Oh.
Isn't that the guy that
game shows.
Burt Campanaris.
He was the A's shortstop.
And he had game shows, too?
Nope.
I think he also had a
Burt Convy. He's thinking of.
Oh yeah,
Burt Convy.
Oh, I was thinking of Burt Kempfert that had an instrumental hit back in the '60s.
Oh, good lord!
Wonderland by Night, if you're wondering.
Are we still here?
We got other birthdays.
Spit them out, sunshine.
I can't find them. My phone.
It's okay.
Didn't find mine either.
Yeah, that's okay.
Hey, time for Citizen of the Day.
Ooh, come on.
Citizen of the Day.
Stacy Link.
I like Stacy.
No. She's got dogs for sale. Giving them away.
Doggies?
Okay, dogs for sale, and she's giving them away.
She's got puppies.
Her puppies.
Six of them.
Okay.
Cute little dogs.
Hey, get a what, $1.50 cup of coffee, you get a free pup.
Free puppy.
I went to the fountain today.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a pretty good place, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
And listen to this.
I've heard
good
you have to drive to Salina
big
to get it.
Plans.
Two, Rocker, listen to this.
I'm with you.
Two bacon sandwiches on toast.
Mm-hmm.
Coke. How much? Can of Coke.
$8.50.
Well, if they're charging you what bacon actually costs, it's $28.
Bacon's cheap, ain't it?
No.
No,
$5
no, no.
a pound. $5.50 a pound.
Mmm. It was $13.25.
Ew, hello.
Yep.
At Brick Street, that's about $8.
Mm-hmm. That's what I said.
Yeah. Yep.
You're on it.
Well, they're not charging enough for their bacon down there, but they're doing okay, so why go screwing with the formula?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's bacon's a ridiculous amount of money. And it, of course, some of it depends on how many strips you're putting on there.
They load it up.
Load her up?
Yeah, they do load it up.
Now, I buy my bacon at Winners because they don't put preservatives in it, so I don't buy it through the regular Eckrich or anything like that, prepackaged. But the bacon that I'm buying now is $6.69 a pound at Winners.
Yee.
And it's fairly thick bacon, but if you put... I figured out the other day, I made myself a bacon sandwich with six slices.
Mm-hmm.
$4 worth of bacon.
Really?
It's more than $3 worth of bacon.
So you're saying your sandwiches are $15.50.
Well, if you use that bacon instead of the $5 a pound, it's $6.69 and the thicker slice.
There you go.
So I don't like thick bacon.
Thick bacon? Yeah.
I like a crispy, thin bacon.
I like it crispy. Absolutely,
yeah.
Crispy.
I'm a crispy guy, too.
You?
He's asleep. He fell asleep when we started.
Wrong sleeper.
he's only awake when he's talking.
I do like crisp bacon.
Yeah. Yep.
I like it a little, what you call,
limp?
Big.
I like it a lot.
Yeah. I love bacon. Bacon's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah. Can't go wrong.
Like, I can't remember the last time I had Canadian bacon.
I'm not a bacon.
It's not real bacon. It's some sort of ham thing. It's okay, but I don't love Canadian bacon.
Nope. Ow.
Can I slide through the celebrity birthdays?
Oh, you're still here.
What is going on?
I didn't know you're still here.
Well, neither do I. Tuesday we have James Spader turns 63.
Hmm.
That's Blacklist guy, isn't it?
Yep. James very good.
Spader. Never heard of him. Never heard of him.
Good guy.
Garth Brooks turns 61.
Blame it all on my roots. I showed up in boots and ruined your black tie fair. Last one to know. I can't go anymore.
Go ahead.
Let's go. Quit interrupting.
What?
So who was that?
Garth Brooks, if you didn't.
George Strait.
Oh.
George Strait.
They're all the same to me.
Mm-hmm.
The old Slappy, Chris Rock, turns 58.
Chris, take a beat. I love Chris Rock.
I think he's one of
them. You like Chris Rock?
Oh, I like Chris Rock.
Okay.
Ashton Kutcher, 45. Dude.
He fell off the face of the earth.
He did.
He started screwing Demi Moore, and that was all.
Killed him.
Right?
Wouldn't
you ever see him?
Nope.
Almost never saw him before.
Oh, he was on everything. Two and a Half Men.
70 Show. That's 70
shows.
Today, composer John Williams turns 91.
Ooh, he had a lot. He did every movie for 30
Star
years.
Star Wars. E.T.
Everything.
He just anything Steven Spielberg, he pretty much captured.
Yeah,
he was 5 foot tall. He's real short.
That was the guy who smoking the band.
Louis.
Look how tall they are. Look it up.
6'6".
Well, I don't know if I have anything that tells me how tall he was.
What's the guy's name?
John Williams.
John Williams.
I've got some songs here. We'll do,
no,
maybe
I don't
we'll
care
playing
about,
one
I'm
of the
I'm telling you that
songs.
Was a little sawed off son of a... You
Indiana
know
Jones and there. Let's see if we can play something there. Yeah, it's not done.
Ted Koppel is 83.
Teddy Koppel.
Ted Koppel.
Nightline.
George Bush shot dead today at the senseless age of 73.
Ted Koppel. I don't think that happened.
I don't know about that one.
That was a what's it, Saturday Night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nick Nolte turns 82.
Nick Boozers.
Gary Busey's illegitimate brother.
Yeah. Sometimes their mugshots are hard to tell apart.
Hard to tell apart.
And Seth Green, 49. That's the end of that.
So Nick Nolte, this is something that nobody really cares about.
He's from Ohio.
I don't know about that, but when my parents sold the house to me and they moved to North Carolina, and then my mom passed away, my dad goes to Florida, the people that bought the house, they shot a movie there that Nick Nolte was in.
At your house?
At my parents' house, yeah.
The
one that they had completely restored.
What was the movie?
It was an old farmhouse. It was Nick Nolte had three movies out that came within 3 weeks of each other. Mm-hmm. This was the one that nobody ever heard of.
Perfect.
It is, I had it in my head a second ago.
Top notch movie, apparently.
No, it wasn't. Anybody saw it.
So Nick Nolte's been in Fort Recovery.
No, my parents' house in North Carolina. But after they sold it.
Stay with us, Bubba.
But after they had sold it.
There's a lot of turns.
But a year later, so this movie company comes in. They wanted a house, and my mom had redone this neat old farmhouse. And actually, it wasn't a neat old farmhouse then. It was neat when she got done with it.
Who's the most famous person to ever come in our town?
Come into our town?
Yeah. Roy Clark.
Roy?
Yeah.
Rick Derringer?
No, Jesus. You're more popular than that turd.
No, Rick Derringer's very well known in the music industry.
Have you ever had a governor?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Celeste.
Dick Celeste was never in Fort Worth.
Yes, he was.
Well, I can tell you that whoever was governor when our monument was dedicated was here.
Oh, Jesus.
No, it wasn't Jesus.
That'd be what?
Could have been.
19.
Well, you said
that
ever.
Would have been impressive.
You said who's the most famous person ever
coming for recovery,
and ever was 110 years ago.
Hey, don't forget Gil Whitney.
We gotta have somebody more popular than that coming in for recovery.
What do you want, Carrie Underwood?
Bobby Hoing.
Hey, we're gonna have Tracy.
Bobby Hoing.
We're gonna have Tracy Bird.
Tracy,
we're from the country and we like it that way. Everybody knows everybody. Everybody calls you friend.
It's karaoke night.
That's big.
That is big.
The Wild's going to be the biggest event we've ever had in our town.
It already has been, and it's getting bigger every
time. This thing is going to be huge.
The first year, it was probably the biggest thing we ever had, and the second year. It was better. And now it was this fifth year. It's
COVID.
Crazy. This is crazy.
COVID.
It's crazy.
COVID killed it.
COVID.
We can't get DeWine to show up here. Not that we really want him.
Well, all we have to do is lose somebody.
So you're saying Rick Derringer would be one of the tops?
And Roy Clark.
I'd say so.
Clay Carroll.
My sister got him an ice cream cone.
Who's... The pitcher for the Reds.
Yeah, but when was he?
He was a Dairy Queen hunt.
Used to be hunting.
He hunted up here.
Yep.
I was there that time.
Yep.
Of course you were. Why wouldn't you be?
Yeah. We got to have somebody.
How about Dave Collins was here one time.
Dave Collins. He damn near coached here.
Now, here's somebody that they've been here, and they talk to you guys regularly, 3 or 4 times a year. Hal McCoy.
Hal McCoy's a Hall of Famer.
Hey, Dave Letterman was there at one point, too.
No, people say that. He was never here.
David Letterman was never at Minor Dinks.
No, I don't think so. A lot of Ball State people went there. I am very sure he's never been there. Now, I didn't get over there all the time. When I got over there, it was after Big P closed, and it was late. But if there was somebody that neat in Fort Recovery, I'd
Who's the most famous guy in Mercer County?
Famous guy or lady in Mercer County. Most famous right now?
Well, we've had some athletes.
That's some athletes.
Yeah, but are they, they're not really famous.
Yeah.
Jimmy Z.
Hey, don't kid yourself. Dude was a big wheel.
He was in the cabinet of the governor. Huge. That's a big deal.
Yeah, it's big.
That is a big deal.
It is.
But we don't think even if it's famous because we knew him when
he
was.
But we've never had, I'm sure that some vice presidents or something stopped in Slyne or something.
King Bob.
Yeah, yeah.
King Bob. Dan Quayle had to be in Mercer County. He was at Eichenauer Farm. Trump.
Was Trump in Mercer County? He might have been.
He was in Walpock, wasn't he?
I don't know.
Close.
Mercer County.
Trump would be the, if he was ever in Mercer County.
If you have somebody you want to throw in there, 567-510-0096.
The most famous person to ever walk in Fort Recovery or the county.
Or the county.
Yep. I don't know of anybody.
Interesting.
What else you got? We got anything else?
I'm guessing the restraining order against me on Dan Quayle has probably been lifted by now.
You didn't like Dan Quayle? You weren't a fan?
32 years later.
Why didn't you like Dan Quayle?
No, I went to D.C. one time, and I went to shake his hand, asking for an autograph, and, well, apparently you're not supposed to take a notebook out of your hand or back pocket.
How'd that work out? How old were you?
Oh, 28.
they hauled him into the back of that limousine like they was throwing darts into a hole.
They thought you was going to kill him?
And the next thing I know, I was eating grass.
Did you really get knocked on your
ink of you? Secret Service, though.
Wow. Didn't want no part of you getting an autograph.
No, they told me the...
You know, say, do you know who I am?
They told me the guidelines of what not to do.
After it's too late.
Yeah. Well, they should have mentioned that. They should have bullhorned and say,
exactly.
Don't pull stuff out of your back pocket.
Exactly.
So in 2009, when I went and met Mr. and Mrs. Carter, I didn't want to make the same mistake twice.
You met Jimmy Carter?
Actually, I didn't. Rod did.
Let you meet him? They let Rod meet him, and they didn't let rocker?
Hold up in that car wash.
Okay. Car wash.
So I go up to her Secret Service agent, and I said, would it be okay to get a picture of Mrs. Carter? She says, you might want to go ask her. I'm thinking, well, the last time I did that, you guys had me on the ground.
Stuck me. Tried to plant me like a tomato.
So, Rod, he...
Tomato. I like it.
Rod, he had Jimmy... We call it the mayor's speech.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I'm from Fort Recovery. Would you mind having a... My brother's up from Ohio, the old guilt trip deal. Would you mind signing an autograph? And this is God's honest truth. This Jimmy Carter's words, I gotta go pee. I'll take care of that later.
Jimmy had to go.
Jimmy had to pee.
And he literally followed Jimmy out the door.
And
really?
So that's why he's a pea nut farmer.
Aha! Bada bing. Bada
bum. Okay. That's maybe only the second stupidest thing I've ever said. Might be the first, but.
Who remembers Billy Beer? Anybody remember Billy Beer?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can buy a six-pack of it for $8 now. And on another site, you can buy an eight-pack of it for $1.88.
Mm. How much? What would it taste like, you think?
Well, I would say it didn't taste good to start with, so I'm going to guess it could only get better. So I would say it's...
Is that like wine? It gets better with age?
No. Not beer doesn't do that. Beer gets worse, so it's probably a 2 out of 20. A 1 out of 10.
It's like getting a six-pack of 20-year-old Zimas.
Zima?
Yeah, but Zima, you could put fruit flavor in for... I don't know how the hell they did that, but...
John...
Cena?
No, John...
Billy... $8.84 for an empty can of Billy Beer.
For one empty can?
And $55 for a full can. That's what they're going for on eBay.
Oh.
Jeez.
I don't know if I saw eBay, but I saw them at like $8 for a six-pack unopened, which is free.
Yeah, old John Evans, he's still waiting for Zima to come back.
Zima. <Yeah.
laughs> He was a Zima fan.
That and the ranch.
Mm. Yeah, I don't think the ranch is going to make it. You got anything else? We got to get sports talk.
Well, I'm not even stopping you.
We'll be right back.
Sports. Yeah, we'll do our little interlude between.
Yeah.
Between. It's 10 till 9. Sports talk comes on the next.
And that's it for
back
sports
in
talk.
See just
thank you for staying tuned to Interact Fitness.
Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.